good evening, depending on where you are. It's early for me here. It's 6 minutes after 4 in the morning. I just made the, this is KX4Y. My name is Dieter. I just made the connection to the telephone line, so everything looks okay. We're just waiting for the contact to start. And the preliminary information of the preliminary talking on the line will probably start in about 10, 12 minutes. When that starts, just before that, in about, I guess about 7 minutes or so, I will mute everybody on the AMSAT server to make sure that some accidental keying of a microphone or so does not mess things up for everybody else. Let me just reset for a minute. On the EDUnet server, I cannot do that, so I appreciate everybody being very careful with their microphone key and not transmitting audio into the system, otherwise it just may mess things up, or will mess things up for everybody else. So at the moment, that's the best we can do, and looks like everything is ready to go. I appreciate the 12 connections that we have on EDUnet at the moment to keep the load light on the AMSAT server. So I appreciate everybody standing by, and I appreciate everybody's patience. This is KX4Y. This is KX4Y, and I appreciate that spacebar being unpressed again. We're getting ready to have a contact between the International Space Station and the St. Martin School in Australia. It won't be long before we get some explanations coming on at the moment. I'm just listening to music on the telephone line, so perhaps you can hear it a little bit in the background. And BK4BB, no problem. Right now it's not a problem, but hopefully we'll all be okay when the contact starts. I still appreciate as many people as possible going over to the EDUnet server, and to lighten the load, and thanks for your comment, Anthony. So, we'll be standing by. This is KX4Y, the name is Dieter, and again, if I can get some feedback as to how many other listeners were connected to your nodes, or links, or repeaters, or whatever, or other servers, I would be very interested in that. My email address is kiloxray4yankee@nsat.org. Thanks.
This is Kilo X-Ray 4 Yankee in Scottsboro, Alabama. I have everybody muted now on the NSAT server, so nothing goes back into the telephone line. But regardless of that, it's a one-way telephone line in any case, so it's just double insurance. I guess in a few minutes' time, we'll have some explanations starting on the system. As soon as that starts, we will be transmitting the audio. During the whole transmission, of course, I have to release the microphone key about between every two to three minutes or so to let everybody's repeater reset. And again, I appreciate everybody who has switched over to the EDUnet server. It helps all of us to get unbroken audio, hopefully, from the AMSAT server. This is KX4Y. My name is Dieter in Scottsboro, Alabama, and we'll be standing by.
Welcome to the Spring Hill, Florida conference server and the Florida State Network. Link active.
Thank you, Robin. Well, hello, everyone. This is Will Marchant, KC6ROL, from the Space Scientist Lab at the University of California, Berkeley. And through the help of amateur radio volunteers, the astronauts on board ISS and MCI, we hope to soon establish radio contact with the International Space Station as it lies more than 200 miles above the Earth over the Pacific Ocean. This is all accomplished with ARIS, amateur radio on the International Space Station. And the ISS currently is nearing the Hawaiian Islands, whizzing along at around 17,500 miles an hour. This contact will be performed using the Telebridge Network, a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enable students to contact the ISS. ARIS is a consortium of volunteers from nine nations that develop and operate the amateur radio station on board the International Space Station. And the stateside members of ARIS are the American Radio Relay League, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, and NASA. The amateur radio ground station that will establish contact with the ISS today is WH6PN at the Sacred Hearts Academy in Honolulu, Hawaii, and that's operated by Nancy Rochelot and Dick Flagg. And thanks for helping us out today, Nancy and Dick.
You're very welcome.
And we're communicating through a worldwide communications network provided courtesy of MCI, and our operator for today is Robin. And we're just about 4 minutes until the contact time. Now, our school for today is the St. Martin's Lutheran School in Mount Gambier, South Australia, Australia. And now let's check in with the students. And I'm sorry to say Jeannie Axton isn't feeling well today, but we'll get their teacher, Mary Ann, to give us just an overview about the students that are taking part today.
Lutheran College is a reception to Year 9 co-educational school and is part of the nationwide Lutheran Schools of Australia. Lutheran schools began from a humble beginning in 1840 and there are now over 76 schools in Australia. St. Martin's began in 1982 and now has over 300 students. The college will grow to a reception to 12 schools from 2004 to 2008.
Okay.
St. Martin's is a Christ-centered learning community that fosters excellence by nurturing each child's potential within a safe and caring environment. St. Martin's provides many challenges and opportunities to enable all students to develop good literacy and numeracy skills within a stimulating, child-centered learning environment. The distinctive nature of St. Martin's is attributed to its committed, warm and supportive staff. Encouragement is considered a vital element in caring for students as they explore their world while striving to achieve their personal best. St. Martin's is now a double-stream primary school and extending to secondary. Students and teachers alike enjoy the modern facilities, the well-appointed classrooms, the spacious grounds and playing areas. The multi-chapel, library, science lab, specialist music room and information technology suite assists the school in offering quality education to children in their formative years. Over.
Well, thanks very much, Marianne. And Nancy, we've worked with you on numerous school contacts, and before the contact begins, we've got about 2 minutes. If you could just briefly tell us about your station, where you are, and how you'll handle the conversation, please.
Okay. We are in the Amateur Radio Club station here at Sacred Hearts Academy, which is an all-girls Catholic high school, or all-girls K through 12 school in Honolulu, and several of our club members helped to prepare the station for the contact. About 30 seconds before the space station is predicted to rise above our horizon, I will begin calling. I will use my amateur call sign, WH6PN, to contact the International Space Station, NA1SS. As soon as I have established contact, I will say, go ahead, St. Martin's. I would like to remind the participants to speak clearly. It is very important that each speaker say over when they are finished. The pass should last about 9 minutes. Just before we anticipate losing contact, I will let you know, and at this point, you may wish to say a group goodbye. Questions?
Oh, pretty right here, Nancy, thanks.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much, Nancy. And I'd just like to remind everyone that what we're doing on the ISS is an experiment, so we can never tell the results, positive or negative, until the experiment is over. And I'll just remind the students to remember to say the word over when they've done asking their question. And in about 30 seconds, the station should be coming in over Honolulu. So, Nancy, it's all yours, and good luck to everyone.
Okay, I'm coming. I'm bringing her up. NA1SS, this is WH6PN, Honolulu, calling for a scheduled contact. View copy, over. NA1SS, this is WH6PN, Honolulu, calling for a scheduled contact. View copy, over.
WH6PN,
NA1SS,
any loud clear, over.
Okay. Go ahead, St. Martin's.
My name is Madeline. Where do you sleep in the space station?
Over. This is St. Martin's Lutheran School, Alexandria, Australia. And thank you for your question, Madeline. In the space station, you could, in principle, sleep just about anywhere. You just have to string your sleeping bag up. But we do have sleep stations here. There are two in the Russian segment of the service module, and we have one in the U.S. lab as well. And I sleep in the lab there. Over.
Michaela, what do you eat for meals in the space station? Over.
Well, Michaela, we actually have quite a varied menu. We can choose our own menus, and we can choose from a lot of different items, from mashed potatoes to beefsteaks to shrimp cocktail, canned fish, canned lamb and beef, pork, just about anything you want. Over.
My name is Teresa. How
long does it take you to go around the Earth in a rocket? Over.
That's what I said. It takes us 90 minutes to go around the Earth. So we get one sunrise and one sunset every 45 minutes. We're traveling at 17,500 miles an hour. Over.
My name is Megan. Have you met the first astronaut who went to the moon? Over.
Well, Megan, unfortunately, I have not had the opportunity to meet the first astronauts that went to the moon. Several of them still come to Houston quite often, so hopefully sometime in the near future I'll get that opportunity. Over.
My name is Trevor. Is it possible for a baby to be born in space? What would be the difficulties? Over.
Well, Trevor, that's a very interesting question. There's no reason that a baby could not be born in space. However, of course, that has not been done. We have had experiments before where we've had Japanese red-bellied newts and fish and some other animals that have given birth in space, so I would anticipate that it is possible. Over.
My name is Mark. Did previous space missions or science fiction inspire you to become an astronaut?
Well, Mark, yes, I did. I always, when I was young, I did read science fiction and watch science fiction movies, and they were always very exciting. But for me, the biggest inspiration to become an astronaut was watching the first Apollo moon landing when I was about 8 years old. Over.
What is it like to be part of NASA's great plans? Over.
Doc, it feels great to be part of NASA, part of the NASA family, and as you know, we've got a bold new vision from the president to go on to explore Mars after first going back to the moon, and so we've got a whole new program started, and we're very excited to be a part of that. Over.
My name is Kristen. What do you do about cleaning your clothes in space? Over.
Well, Kristen, we don't have washing machines or anything on board, so we basically wear our clothes till they're dirty and then throw them away. So that makes life a little easier on board. Now, for a long-duration trip to the Mars, that's something we'd have to think about, whether that's practical to operate the way we do it on the station, or if we need to come out with a way of cleaning our clothes. Over.
My name is Jessica. What are the things you had to study to become an astronaut? Over.
Well, Jessica, to be an astronaut, we select from a wide variety of fields, any kind of science or engineering, and we've even got some teacher astronauts now. So really the biggest thing you should do is study what interests you and just work hard and get good grades and make good decisions and follow your dreams. Over.
Catherine, what would you do if you had a disagreement with another astronaut? Over.
Well, Catherine, we're all professionals here in the Astronaut Corps and in the Cosmonaut Corps, and so we are able to talk out any differences that we might have, and fortunately that's something that all of us have, and so it's not been a problem, and it certainly hasn't been a problem during this mission. Over.
My name is Madeline. What can you see on Earth from the space station? Over.
Well, Madeline, you can see quite a bit from the space station. You can see, of course, big cities and airports and things like that. I've also photographed the pyramids and been looking for the Great Wall, and I think I may have seen it, but I'm not sure yet. But you can see all kinds of structures, big bridges, and, of course, natural things, too. Mountains and lakes, of course, are very visible. So it's really, the view is really amazing from up here. Over.
This is Hannah. What is your favorite milk on the space station? Over.
Well, Michaela, I have a lot of things I really like on the space station, but some of my favorites are barbecued beef and also the mashed potatoes with onions are quite good. Over.
My name is Teresa. Can you talk to your family from the space station? Over.
Yes, Teresa, we can. Things have gotten a lot better now than they were in the early days. We actually have an IP telephone, so we are able to sometimes make short phone calls to our families, and we have regularly scheduled conferences every week where we can talk to our families. Over.
My name is Megan. Can you see planets from the space station? Over.
Well, Megan, yes, when the windows are pointed towards deep space and we're on a night pass there, yes, we can see other planets. Of course, they just look like very bright stars, just like they do on Earth, because we're only about 300 kilometers closer to the stars than you are there on Earth. So if you went up to a high mountaintop there that's very in the very dark there, not near any lights, you could probably see just about as well as we could. Over.
Trevor, can you light a fire in space? Over.
Well, Trevor, if we had matches, we sure could, and fire does behave differently in space. If you were to light the candle, for example, the flame would actually form a ball instead of the point that you're used to seeing on Earth. Over.
My name is Mark. What do you do for recreation in space? Over.
Well, Mark, our favorite thing to do is to look out the window and take photographs of the Earth. It's really beautiful. Every part of the world looks different, and it's very, very beautiful. We take a lot of photographs, and that's our favorite thing. But sometimes we can also look at, we can also watch movies on DVD and listen to music and also read electronic books. Over.
My name is Zach. What do you do to prepare for a trip in space? Over.
Well, Zach, that's quite a long process to prepare for a trip in space. My crewmate Alza and I, we trained for about 3.5 years for this mission, first as a backup crew for the previous flight, and then finally to train for our own flight. And, of course, once you're selected to be an astronaut, you go through a couple of years of training before you're eligible for a flight assignment. So we go to a lot of school to get up into space, but it's worth it. Over.
My name is Kristen. What is your greatest experience or memory of space? Over.
Well, Kristen, that's hard to say. I have a lot of great memories of space. Perhaps one of the greatest memories would be the first time I got to go out and do a spacewalk, and that was a while back, about 8 years ago. And I remember going out of the hatch for the very first time and seeing the Earth through my helmet visor there, and it was just a really wonderful experience. Over.
What do you do in the case of a blood nose in the space station? Over.
Well, Jessica, in case of a bloody nose in space, we treat it the same way you would on Earth. Of course, you couldn't tilt your head back. That wouldn't do much good without gravity. But we do have a complete medical kit on board that includes a kit for bloody noses. And we would, of course, try to apply local pressure as you would on Earth and try to stop the bleeding. And if that didn't work, we have other things that we have on board that we can help with. That's true for any medical kind of emergencies that could arise. We have the kits on board to take care of that. Over.
My name is Catherine. Is there an age limit to being an astronaut? Over.
Well, Catherine, there's no strict age limit to being an astronaut. The oldest person I think that flew was 61 years old. The oldest astronaut that is, of course, John Glenn, came back and flew.
Gentlemen, we've shared a moment of history.
Thanks very much, Nancy.
All right, good job, Tony.
Amateur radio station W86TN at the Sacred Hearts Academy in Honolulu, Hawaii, operated by Nancy Rochelot and Dick Flagg, contacted astronaut Leroy Chow, KE5BRW, aboard the International Space Station, talking with the students at the St. Martin's Lutheran School in Mount Gambier, South Australia, Australia. And MCI donated the telecommunications facilities, and Robin was our operator today so that we could share this occasion. And congratulations to all the students at Mount Gambier who did such an excellent job. And now for the international volunteer team of ARIS, including the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, the American Radio Relay League, and NASA, this is Will Marchant, amateur radio operator KC6ROL. Sending my greetings to all of you in amateur radio term 73, which means best wishes. And Robin, if you could do a count for us and then drop the listen-only lines, please. Well, Tony, good job.
Thanks very much, John. I think I
this is. Kilo X-ray 4 Yankee. This concludes our session with the IAS and the school, that St. Martin School in Australia. So I appreciate everybody standing by and listening, and I think we had a good session, and I'm looking forward to the next contact. I do not know at this time when the next contact will be. As soon as I find out, I will post that information on the AMSAT calendar of events on www.amsat.org. There's a calendar of events, and that's where I post the information as soon as I get it. So, 73 to everybody. I appreciate everybody listening. This is KX4Y, and I'll be clear and putting things back to normal again on the AMSAT server.